We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on? Welcome in. This is Hogan Johns' rookie mini camp in the books.
You don't want to talk about Cub socks?
I'll talk about Cub socks. I know more about that than whatever happened at Hallis Hall over the weekend.
Your socks are bad, man.
Hey,
they won yesterday, though.
They are.
Today's Monday. They won on Sunday.
They are struggling more than I thought they would.
They got 10 wins. Does that sound right? 10 wins?
Yeah, but like also realistically, what did we think they'd be at? 14, 15 right now?
Yeah.
Like, is it that big of a difference?
It's bad. It's worse. It's.
This won't be a White Sox podcast. But like I talked to Rick Hahn last week about this on Sports Central, and it was like, yeah, everybody knew this was rebuilding, but he admitted it's like the defense especially, some of the fundamental aspects of that team this year has been a little tough to watch.
That's why your coach is not going to make it through to the next part of the rebuild.
Yeah.
Joe
Romano is our producer, and how stupid was that comment from Adam Johns?
That was pretty stupid. That ranks up there with some of the stupidest things that have ever been said on this.
Rick Renteria is going to be your
that was like
your future coach?
What you just said is Twitter this morning, by the way. That is White Sox Twitter today. It's not his fault.
That the fundamentals are bad?
No, it's not his fault that there's a handful of what I like to call 4A players on the team.
I know.
Are struggling in areas where we knew they would struggle.
I still don't think he's going to be their guy when they decide to flip the switch on their rebuild process.
Trade for Joe Madden?
Yeah, we'll see who else is available.
Kidding. That's not happening. No, they believe in Ricky. All right. And that's your White Sox-Cubs talk from the weekend.
Ta-da.
I was not at Rookie Minicamp. By the way, this is episode 155 of Hogan Johns. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns. J-A-H-N-S, our producer, Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. You can read Johnsy's coverage from Rookie Minicamp at ChicagoSunTimes.com. You cannot read mine. I don't have any. This is my rookie minicamp coverage right here on this podcast. But you can read me otherwise at WGNradio.com/Bears. Please subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling that now, Google Play, TuneIn, search Hogan Johns, rate and review the podcast. How would you rate and review Rookie Minicamp? I was dealing with baseball.
Oh, it's an exhilarating time. I don't want to be a wet blanket here, but it's rookie mini camp. It's not like Mitch Trubisky was out there throwing passes. Last year was different. You had a number two overall pick quarterback. You could literally see something being done and accomplished here. Like everybody's in shorts. Roquan Smith looked fast. That's good. He can flow. Iggy, I'm not going to mispronounce his last name.
Iwe Benue.
Solidly built. He can flow. He can move. The other guys, I don't know. Bilal Nichols, massive human being.
Yeah, I saw some positive stuff on Twitter, just like more about just how he looked. And that's a guy that probably would have been drafted a lot earlier without the injury concerns, right?
Oh, Kylie Fitz.
Oh, that's what
you're talking about. Yeah, Kylie Fitz looked good. Look, I want to see what they do against the veterans coming up this week with OTA starting. But nothing surprising. I really think rookie minicamp, at least with the way the Bears operate, has become another step in the scouting process. They had, 35, 40 tryout guys there or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys got contracts. Again, you got some undrafted free agent signings out there competing for spots, whatever. It's more important for Ryan Pace and his personnel guys than the coaches, I believe. They're looking for gems. They're looking for another steal here or there.
And some guy named Matt Fleming got his name in the papers because Mark Potash kept pushing for Matt Nagy to name somebody over the weekend that stood out. So Matt Nagy came into the press conference with a name prepared. I 100% guarantee it was prepared. and said Matt Fleming.
Yeah.
And then everybody wrote about this guy named Matt Fleming.
We got to give background on this. So
it's good stuff.
For years, Mark Potash has thrown his line out there, you know, searching for a fish, or, you know, looking for a bite from a coach. Mark Trestman, he did it with.
Yeah.
John Fox, he did it like every week or something. You know, can you just give us a guy who's been impressive? John Fox would never do that. So forever.
And you're just talking about rookie minicamp.
Yeah, no, but even like OTAs, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, okay. Like, yeah.
During these, I don't know, perfunctory times a year.
Give me somebody to write about.
Yes, yes. Someone who is, because you know some guys stand out for certain players,
mm-hmm.
or for certain coaches. And John Fox would never give Mark Potash that. But Matt Nagy, I think, has earned favoritism from Mark Potash these days by giving him a name, especially a local kid from Simeon, from Benedictine University in Lisle. Not bad, Matt Nagy.
Congrats to Matt Fleming.
Yes.
For,
got himself a contract.
Getting some print in the papers.
Mm-hmm.
They did give him a contract, so that does back up the fact that they like
him. Yeah, well, you almost had to then if you're going to name him.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into?
Oh, wait, I meant somebody else.
All right, he gets a roster spot.
Yeah.
And Carlos Santos.
Yeah, didn't have any of that, like Matt Flaming or something like that. You got the name right.
Yep.
You got a contract, gave the kid a contract. Mark Potash is happy. You know, Matt Nagy went 3-for-3 on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Well, I find it a little disrespectful they have mini camp on Mother's Day, but, you know.
I feel like they've had that before, though.
No, they did. No, so I think. By the way, I'm kidding.
A lot of teams
I'm
did,
kidding.
Yeah.
By the way, they used to do it the first weekend after the draft, and then I think it was the year Fox came in.
They pushed it back. Yes,
that they changed, or maybe it was the year before the
Tressman's Bears did it immediately, like within days
yeah.
of the draft.
No, it was the first Pace Fox year. Yeah, they moved it to Mother's Day weekend,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then it also happened to be Cubs Sox weekend. So
it's okay.
Some people pulled off that doubleheader on Friday. I saw people at Wrigley that were at Hal's Hall.
Oh, Deion Miller, right?
Yeah, she was there
Did
for
she
Roquan
do the double
Smith.
Dip? Yes, yes.
They didn't stay for practice, I don't think.
No. Look, you're not gonna, the practices aren't revealing. It's a lot of fundamental work, it's a lot of walkthroughs, it's a lot of these players have a lot to learn, and it's just a new process for them. Especially, you need to get the draft picks up to speed. You have a lot of young other guys like your Matt Flemings of the world competing for jobs. So there is something to be gleaned. But look, it is what it is. It's just another part of the off season. The next step is OTAs, and you got veteran mini camp, and then we get a break, and then it's training camp. All part of the process.
It comes and goes really fast.
What this part of the year?
Yeah. OTAs this week. So they'll have three practices each week. One of them has four, which a lot of times they cancel that last one.
Yeah,
usually to reward the players that, for
yes,
summer break.
Yes.
And the only one a week is open to us.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday this week. You going to be there?
Nope.
White Sox.
White Sox day game.
Who are they going to lose to on Wednesday?
They play Whoa. The Pirates. Yeah, what is it with this guy? He is, he's like just a Twitter troll right now.
Twitterland was a buzzing for a Kylie Fitz story.
I saw that. I did see that on Twitter. All right, here's something I want to bring up. Instead of analyzing rookies in shorts.
Okay.
The underwear Olympics, as my guy Pat Fitzgerald would call it. I'm sensing some Tressman-like qualities to the way practices are run so far under Matt Nagy.
This is interesting. Continue.
And here's the thing. I say that not in a negative way. Just because Mark Tressman ended up being a bad head coach for the Chicago Bears does not mean that I had a problem with the way he ran practices. Here's a couple similarities I've noticed.
Okay.
And again.
Oh, you have a list?
I don't blame him. This is all off the top of my head. I haven't even written this down.
Okay.
Okay. So far, an unwillingness to go outside.
It's been raining. Okay, go.
I understand that. It was not a great weekend.
Okay.
But he also mentioned, Matt Nagy also mentioned, he didn't want to rip up the turf for veteran practices next week. He said that. He said he wanted to make sure the turf's in good shape for the veterans. By the way, another reason why they're building 700 more practice fields out there
yes,
at Hal's
those
Hall
are
right
almost
now.
Done. Yep.
They're going to be ready for the season, apparently. Is that true?
The ones in the back?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, the uprights are up.
I heard that.
The fields are clear. Yeah. Looks good to go.
Okay. So that would be less of a problem going forward. But, okay. And then there were also, Matt Nagy referenced multiple times over the weekend, rules in practice about not going to the ground was one rule. And also, I found this one interesting. I don't even know if Trestman had this rule. 50-50 balls go to the offense.
Ooh. Trestman had that one rule where he hated, absolutely hated when balls were batted down.
Yeah, you couldn't bat down practice. Yes. Passes.
Yes, he would like scream at the defensive line, get your hands down.
And then you wonder why week 8 the Bears had no batted passes.
Yes, didn't practice it. Yes. Yes.
That was the dumbest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But 50-50 balls go to the offense. That I think being an injury thing.
Yeah, that's probably an extension of
don't get hurt.
Don't get fall on the ground.
Which I'm fine. Again, I don't have any problems with any of this stuff. I'm just bringing it up. This was not stuff that John Fox, unless it just never got talked about, but John Fox didn't mind guys going at it.
John Fox also had a massive injury problem.
That's true. I'm just saying, early on in this, it's an offensive head coach, and I'm seeing a lot of the same things, a tendency to go inside where the elements don't get in the way of what you're trying to get done.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially at this stage. You're in shorts anyway. Be in a perfect environment and get what you... They're installing stuff right now.
Well,
they're not trying to evaluate everything. They're just installing
stuff. We'll see if the indoors mentality continues. Remember, Trestman would do it during the season when it was just cold out. That was a bad look. John Fox would keep him out there in rainy weather for no good reason sometimes. I remember doing a press conference with John Fox, and it's literally a downpour outside. Do you recall those days when they had their little, what do you want to call that, riser for the press conferences that John Fox wanted to do coming off the field?
Yeah, the one that
literally a downpour.
Yes, the skunk built a nest under?
Yes, 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 yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, he got skunked.
That should have been a sign. Wasn't that year one?
Yeah. Actually, they had a couple problems with animals burrowing and that thing. And the whole, like, that was just bad coming off the field doing those interviews. Anyway, you got this brand new, we're getting off topic here. But yes.
I don't know. I think it's a great topic for rookie minicamp.
The burrowing?
Yeah.
The animal situation skunk, off the field.
Skunks living in John Fox's.
The fox getting skunked. That is great.
In my experience, sugar goes a lot further than vinegar.
Anyway, look, the whole jump ball situation, it is whatever. You know, there's been a lot of comparisons, though, to Trestman. Remember the feel-good moments of the Trestman era that turned out to be maybe a one-year season or a one season's worth of them?
Yeah. I think that happens with any coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, look, it's...
I do think...
You can't really criticize anything if there's nothing to criticize.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Unless you're... I think it's fair to bring up things. Like, I don't know. I brought this up when Nagy got hired. There was a big... I went back to one of my stories I wrote right after Trestman got hired. And I had... I think I wrote, like, how has this guy never been a head coach before? Like, guy's been in the league. That's a huge red flag to me. And I thought that was something fair to bring up. Like, this guy was in the league forever.
Yep.
Had to go back to college. Had to go to the Canadian Football League.
Wrote a book.
And somehow, that's when he gets a head coaching job. Like, it did not add up.
Mm-hmm.
It did not add up. And that stuff, I think more of that happened than we probably remember.
What, the feel-good
the
stuff?
Doubting.
No, there was doubting, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there's a lot more...
Yeah.
The honeymoon here with Nagy is much greater than the Trestman. I think with Trestman, people were like, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah, there's some apprehension. I think comparisons, and these have been made, I don't agree with a lot of the comparisons made between the start of Nagy and the start of Trestman. They're taking over... Nagy's taking over a completely different team than what Trestman had. Completely different. Starts with the quarterback. You're not getting an aging veteran who is still not producing up to his talent. You're not getting a bunch of miscreants.
Reality show star, by the way, Jay Cutler.
Yes, yes.
Did you see the trailer?
No, I have not seen this. Oh, yeah. Is it good?
KCAV came out with the trailer for her new show. Starts July 8th. And Jay Cutler made an appearance.
I love. He's going to have a prominent role in that. He's going
to
be.
So that's what I'm wondering. Does he really have a prominent role, or did they just slip him into the trailer to make it look like?
I think. Well, he's the husband.
Yeah, she.
He's not doing anything.
But she talks in the trailer about how he would write her love emails.
Yes. Oh yeah, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Chicago's going to enjoy that show, I think, for a little bit. It may get old still for a bit, but
this reminds me of when I covered Wisconsin, and there was an MTV show that came out about life on Wisconsin's campus.
Yeah.
And it was the most extreme, like, all you do is get drunk 24/7 every single day. Like,
that's not reality up
but
there.
But J.J. Watt was in it.
Yeah.
Like, before J.J. Watt even played for the Badgers, he was, like, on the scout team, and he made an appearance on the show.
Wait, is that the show where the basketball team is driving around, like, on the scooters?
Probably. Yeah. It was about campus life. It was, like, I don't know, but it was so unrealistic, too. I mean, a lot of it was true, but it's, like, yeah, okay, we probably do this 2 days out of the week, not seven.
Yes.
Not everybody's an idiot. This is a pretty good school.
I'm looking forward to the glimpses of the Jay Cutler that we never got to see here. You know, I just want to see him come into the kitchen. Like, I'm not Jay unless I have my coffee or something like that. Completely, like, disheveled. You know, full beard going on. You know, the hair, you know, doesn't have the product in it yet.
Who cares?
I want to hear him say, make comments like that to KCAV.
So you're going to watch the show?
Probably not. We'll TiVo a couple.
Joe, he's going to watch the show.
You're our social media guy. I think you also need to be our... Yeah, you are.
Update here, Joe. Yeah. I deleted Instagram off my phone.
Oh, come on, man.
What?
Yes.
Without letting us
know.
How
are you going to do your job?
Yeah, you can't be the social media coordinator without Instagram.
Those creeping days are over. It's refreshing not to have it on my phone.
You deleted Instagram?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. I don't need it. We'll wait for Twitter to notify me of certain farewell posts or something scandalous posted on Instagram.
Well, are you going to at least watch bad TV for us?
Yeah, I guess we could do some of that. That'll be the new role.
Okay.
But just the Jay Cutler reality show, correct?
Maybe Bad Basketball Wives, too.
Oh,
I don't even know what that was.
Don't even know what that show is.
I was talking to my wife about this last night because we had TNT randomly on last night. Because, like, American Sniper was on, and we watched the last 20 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran all these ads for all these shows, and I'm like, I don't know what any of this is.
I don't watch a lot of TV myself.
And then we had American Idol on for, like, 20 minutes, too, and there was, like, six ads for sitcoms they ran. Like, the person from The Office, Pam from The Office, she's got her own show on ABC now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Who watches all this stuff? Who has time for that?
Not me.
Not
too much baseball. And
you got too many Jay Cutler reality shows to watch. And Instagram posts.
Come on, you are going to watch the first episode of that.
I don't even know what channel it's on. But maybe. If you tell me what channel it is, then... I mean, I did see the trailer. I'm the one who brought this up. But you know how? Because Instagram and Kristen Cavallari on Instagram. I saw it this morning.
Yeah.
So you need to get back on Instagram because I'm just starting to get on Instagram, pal.
Take it over.
You're
going to be hooked. You're going to be sitting there at Hallis Hall one day just scrolling through Instagram. Before you know it, you missed half of practice. You can't have that. You can't have that. It's freedom.
I don't care if I
What do you think a Jay Cutler love letter is like?
I don't want it.
You know, Kristen, you travel a lot, but who cares? Don't care. What is it? Don't care.
I don't have it. I should have more Jay Cutler sound bites. Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That is one... you know what? I don't even want to spend the time thinking about what that relationship's like.
What, the Jay Cutler, Kristen Cavallari?
Yeah. Hmm. That's enough thinking of that in my mind.
What were we talking about to get to this point?
Rookie minicamp?
Rookie minicamp. That'll do it.
Well,
do
I it. No, we were talking about Trestman practices.
Bad comparisons with the Matt Nagy. They're taking over two completely different teams. Completely different teams.
Yeah, but all I was comparing was the practice styles.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Okay. But others have compared the Trestman takeover to the Nagy takeover. I think they have.
Yeah, that's
an unfair comparison.
Sure. Yeah. Because Matt Nagy just came from the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. Not the Montreal Alouettes.
Hey, Trestman's a champion again, my man.
Yeah, with Toronto now. He owns Toronto.
Look at that. Wow. Wow. I do think there will be some similarities to the John Fox era. Nagy, he's pumped. We're not using fired up anymore. We can't use fired up anymore, right? Because Ryan Pace retired that.
Yeah, man, I'm really fired up.
So I like how Nagy kind of just sped up to training camp and his excitement level to get the pads on and play some real football. So I think you will see some batted down passes, and I think you will see competitive jump balls in some occasions.
Well, probably once the pads go on. Mm-hmm. He kind of alluded to that, too, over the weekend. I actually found his press conferences very refreshing this weekend. Because he was like, basically, yeah, it's just rookie minicamp.
It is what it is.
He's like, they're out there. We're just trying to get them to learn the plays.
Yeah.
And if they come back tomorrow and they understand the play, then good. If not, then we'll figure it out. By the way, thanks again to Ryan Pace who came on last week's podcast. A lot of good feedback from our listeners for that.
And yeah, it was a fun episode.
We appreciate it. I mean, just nice to recap the draft with the general manager. Mm-hmm. I guess that was 2 weeks ago now. Man,
time is flying. We're going to have training camp here.
Time's flying, but the weather's not. It's still winter.
Mm-hmm. Pat Finley's calling me right now. Should we put him on the podcast? Watch this. Yep. Ignore.
Ooh.
Dang, dude.
If he had called my phone, I actually could have punched him up.
Well, we tell him?
Live. Sure. What else do we have to talk about?
I want to talk more about the reality show, apparently, that you're excited about because you saw it on Instagram.
I saw the trailer on Instagram.
Okay.
All right. Here's another thing I want to bring up. The big news this morning, by the way, like legitimate huge news in the sports world, that the Supreme Court has said that the ban on gambling, sports betting, is not constitutional. They said bye-bye ban. It is now up to the states, 50 individual states, to make their own laws on gambling. And if they want to say it's legal, they can. Let's see if Illinois is smart enough to realize how much money can come in off of this from taxes on bets and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is they'll find a way to screw it up like they always do.
Because it's Illinois. It's Chicago, yeah.
Yeah.
Can they? Is it possible to screw it up? Probably they tax it too much. The revenue alone.
Well, just look. They have to legalize. I'm just saying if they don't legalize it.
Chicago money moves lines. I mean, if they do their research, the numbers change when Chicago starts spending their money. I mean, this is like a well-known established fact. A lot of gambling comes out of the Chicago market. Chicagoans love to gamble. You would think that Bruce Rauner, Rahm Emanuel, our elected leaders, would be able to figure this out.
You would think. You think they'd do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you just imagine the idea of sports books? My dog likes it. Sports books. Like, down the street that you can go hang out on a Sunday. I mean, this is what people go to Vegas for.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about a whole different revenue stream, a whole different job market. Bookies are legitimate now.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for some of these guys. They might have to
come out of the shadows. Well, they're actually not. See, that's not legal. That's still not going to be legal.
But that guy can get a job now. Can he not?
Sure.
Like, a legal job.
Yeah, if the sports book wants to hire him.
Yeah.
But
here's my resume.
I actually have a pretty good resume. I've been doing this under the table for 20 years, and I'm a millionaire.
And I've only been arrested once.
Yeah. That's actually, if I was, I'd be like, okay, that's pretty impressive.
Seriously.
You're hired.
I mean, like, weren't we just talking about the movie Casino the other day? Like, Sam East Rothstein can come back and, you know, establish a legitimate business. Could get, like, he could pay for a legalized book. What there's, you know, you can pay fees to the state. Let's...
Well, I was actually just texting with Sam Panionovich, who just left WGN Radio to go to VSiN,
yes,
which is that Vegas sports information network,
mm-hmm.
That's like started by Brett Musburger, basically. And I mean, they knew this was that was a really smart
oh yeah
time for that to start, because this is going to take over everything now. I was just texting to Sam actually about the Bears over under for win total this okay. year, because I had heard it. He says it's still at 6.5. I heard it move down to 6. Someone said that on the radio last week. Anyway, does that still seem low to you?
Yeah. I mean, ESPN had them with the number 2 overall pick next year in a mock draft, so I guess not.
I saw that. Yeah. If they're picking second, there's a lot of problems.
Don't get me wrong, and Nick Bosa will look great in Vic Fangio's defense, but that means a complete disaster has occurred.
It probably means that Mitch Trubisky's a bad quarterback.
Or he got hurt.
That's the other option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. And again, we've said many times on this podcast, we don't think Mitch Trubisky is a bad quarterback. I think he's going to be really good this year.
I'm sure he's going to have some bad plays, maybe a couple bad quarters.
But if he's even remotely as good as I think he's going to be in year two, they're going to be close to 6 wins.
Mm-hmm. We can't stress enough that John Fox wanted to run the wing T last year.
and. They have better players on that side of the ball.
Yes, yes. And the entire defense is back. Top 10 unit.
Golly.
Wing T. But, yes, you would think some competent, truly complimentary football for the defense will help matters. Now, it's a tough division.
They won 5 games last year.
Yeah.
They won 5 games. How could they not just, like, by default win 2 more?
Yeah, it's tough. To only win 2 games. It's like you actually luck into a few wins, I think, during the season.
They gave away more than 2 wins last year.
Yes. The Bears' schedule is also deceiving. It's not. There's some, difficult stretches and whatnot, but some of these teams aren't what people think they are.
Like the Packers.
Yeah, they're vulnerable. Like the Seahawks, who are going through a little minor rebuild on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, this is from Sam Panionovich. The win total is currently 6.5. The over is set at minus 40. The under at plus 120. That means that you have to lay more money to take the over.
That's so, the juice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So they're thinking that the Bears will go over that number is another way to put that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, here's the trap, though, and these are two different teams in two different situations. Joe, what was the White Sox over-under this year? Wasn't it like 68.5?
Yeah, 68, I think maybe even 69.5.
And aren't they on track for, what, 40-something wins?
But that's my point. When that came out, we spent the month of March, not just us, like every radio station that talks about sports in this town. Oh, I'd go over easily. They're easily going to win 70 games. Are you kidding me? Bet the house on that one. And
I hope you didn't.
And they're going to need a miracle to get there. So, but I don't know. This is different. That 6.5, especially when you put it in the context that we just did. They won 5 games last year. The defense should be just as good, if not better. The offense, just by default.
We'll just call it the default offense.
Like, it has to be better.
Yeah.
Unless, like you said, Mitch Trubisky gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Should I knock on wood for everybody?
And then Chase Daniels out there.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Bray.
I still can't... I can't believe how short Chase Daniel is. We saw him at that mini camp. Yeah. I was like...
You know, they have the measurements on the roster. He's only 6 feet. You're over 6 feet tall. He's
yeah, but you know what it's like. We do you eye guys up once they're out there in.
I know.
And they're not wearing pads still, but once they get out there on the field, you get a different feel.
Yeah.
Like Leonard Floyd, whatever his number was, you could just look at him and be like,
Oh, he doesn't weigh that much, yeah, in terms of size. Like,
yeah. Weight numbers can be deceiving.
Yeah. I think Georgia also had Leonard Floyd listed at like 6'6 or something like that. He's not 6'6. He's a good 6'4, but he's not like a basketball player height, or 6'4 is, but you know what I mean. Speaking of quarterbacks, this was a positive development about rookie camp. Remember in years past, before Mitch Trubisky, you'd have guys out there, and literally these balls would be like sailing into the guys waiting at the sidelines, or your 15, 20-yard outs would be hitting the dirt or the turf or whatnot. They actually had some competent quarterbacks there.
Like Aaron Murray.
Yeah, he was completing passes.
I like Aaron Murray.
Yeah. I think it's just another sign of Matt Nagy. Look, we need a quarterback that's competent, who knows a few things, to throw the football. There's some receivers we need to evaluate.
Well, and Aaron was in his offense in Kansas City.
Yes, yes.
So, and by the way, those don't remember, Aaron Murray is Georgia quarterback from a few years ago.
A draft pick of the Chiefs, yes.
Actually tore his ACL this last year at college, and that kind of... But the Chiefs still drafted him. Mm-hmm. I remember being at Senior Bowl that year, and Aaron couldn't participate after the injury, but he was still there.
Yes, but again, it just goes back to... They got years before, and how bad that was that the quarterbacks play. But hey.
I can't even remember their names.
What, for the guys before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never even heard of some of these guys. But these balls, it's like, we could have gone out there and thrown some passes. That's how bad it was. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, you need to evaluate some of these players, right? Either way.
They drafted two wide receivers. They apparently signed two more from the weekend. You need somebody throwing the ball to
Yes, competently.
Yeah. All right, anything else from the weekend?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
Look, let's see him against veterans. Roquan Smith, again, just in terms of the eye test, he's an athlete. He can move.
He's going to be good.
Oh, he can move. Iggy, too. He can move. I think that's very apparent. It's one reason he was apparently drafted, and it's very apparent on the field. He can get around.
What do you make of Danny Trevathan's current situation?
I don't want to say precarious yet, but yeah, it's like he's a John Fox guy.
Yeah, I think that needs to be. But I also point out, when he's been out there, he's played really well.
That's fine. That's no problem with that.
But he's been struggling to stay out there.
He hasn't been on the field. Again, he was a John Fox signing. And after this year, there is a very affordable out in his contract.
But he's probably on the team for this year.
Yeah, he needs some veteran stewardship. But he's not... Again, I think sometimes it's Casey. Look, he's a solid player. I don't want to sound like I'm trashing him. He's a very good football player, but it's important not to overrate him because we see him every day locally and what his backups are.
Yeah.
Look, Roquan Smith could be special. Danny Trevathan was not re-signed by the Denver Broncos after a Super Bowl season.
Well, that's what you and I always talk about on this podcast. I think it's one of the things we always harp on. Raise your expectations.
Yes.
Raise the expectations. You can't just say a player looks good to you because it's been so bad here for so long.
Yeah, and that's what you're seeing. And he is better than a John Timu and a Jonathan Anderson. He is.
I still think Adrian Amos is the biggest example of that right now.
Oh, yes. The Pro Football Focus.
I see it every day on Pro Football Focus. They tweet it out every day. Here's the highest graded safety in the NFL last year. If he was the best safety in the NFL, they would have locked him up to a long-term deal months ago. He's still entering his the end of his rookie year here, the end of his rookie contract. The last year, they haven't signed him.
Yeah, was he better last year? Yes, but the guy still has only one career interception, and that interception came off a tip pass. That's like he cut in front of a tight end or anything. Kyle Fuller made a great play. Ball's in the air. And he was able to catch it and return it. Yeah. Great return.
And again, no one's bashing Adrian Amos.
No, he had
a good year last year, but it's raise your expectations.
That's why the Bears considered Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick, had Minkah in for a visit and all that. Look, it's the same thing with Trevathan in a sense. Good player. Let's not overrate what he is. I'm not trashing them, but you can improve.
All right. Joe, did we want to play those voicemails? We had some voicemails from the.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I got a couple from the draft.
Yeah, let's fire those.
Here we go.
Jordan Redeker calling in from the University of Georgia, and I am just so excited to see Roquan Smith go to the Bears. He's going to be the perfect complement to this defense. Vic Fangio has finally got a real leader to this defense, and we've got Row and Flow for good years to come, and I'm just really excited. Bear down.
Row and Flow.
I like that. That's good.
Row and Flow.
Is he really come out calling from the University of Georgia? I didn't know we had listeners there.
Hey, we're everywhere.
Yeah, we are everywhere.
Huge in Georgia.
Yes.
We should be now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Half the team's from Georgia.
Yes. Any more, Joe?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
Chris calling from Fargo, North Dakota. I just want to say I think we got the best high school safety in the entire draft. Apparently, drafting short, fast players is something that we are now going to be known for, since we got a fast, skinny, broken player in Leonard Floyd. Now we can get an inside linebacker to match with him. Thanks for letting Marcus Davenport get past us.
Big in Fargo, too.
Mm-hmm. But the big in Fargo does not like the big moves the Bears have made.
Yeah, okay. Well,
take that guy from Georgia. Yeah. Rowan Flo, he's not on the Rowan Flo bandwagon.
I'm going to go ahead and say the guy from Georgia has a better idea on Roquan Smith than the dude from Fargo.
Yeah. Marcus Davenport, come on.
They gave up a first-round pick for next year for that dude.
That guy is a boom and bust pick.
He better be boom.
Oh, man.
Or heads are going to roll in New Orleans.
Yeah, so they're going for it. They needed a pass rusher.
Yeah.
I don't like that selection.
I think we got one more voicemail.
Michael from Urbana. You were talking with Ryan Pace about how people were running down the idea of trading down and accumulating draft capital. After you get off the phone with him and start complaining about how there aren't enough good players on the roster, that there are so many holes that need to be filled by undrafted free agents, how do you think you get good young players in the first place? It doesn't matter how sure you are about your evaluations. Nobody really knows. And so the best way to get good young talent is to have as many bites at the apple as possible. This is my main concern when Pace came up from New Orleans, because that's an organization, as you saw again this year, that has a habit of being really spendthrift and throwing away draft picks on stupid things like developmental edge rushers like Davenport. So take her easy. Bear down.
Also an organization that has a habit of being in the playoffs last year.
I get the idea. Again, people are obsessed with draft capital.
I know.
And draft picks. Smith is a heck of a football player.
That's also not what we said. No one was complaining about the holes. What we said was they still had a lot of holes on the roster, as in slots on the roster to fill. Like,
yes.
You have 90 men that you have to sign guys.
Yes.
No one was saying that it was a negative. We were just saying that there was still a lot of undrafted free agents to be signed because there's open spots.
Yeah.
You have 90 spots on your roster, and the Bears had a lot left over.
I think
it happens every year.
People always see the Patriots. They're always wheeling and dealing and adding picks, you know, trading for next year, whatever. You know, everyone always thinks they're a few steps ahead. Look, they've had a lot of bad draft picks over the past several years. You know, that type of process does not always pay off in the end, all this wheeling and dealing. Look at the Packers. Everybody thinks they're a great organization because, you know, they'll move back and they'll move around in the draft too. You know what? You don't fire your general manager if things are going smoothly. They got a new general manager, and you know what? They've drafted like literally like 1,000 defensive backs in the first 3 or 4 rounds the past several years in recent history.
And not many of them worked out.
No, not many of them pan out. Their first 2 picks this year.
Although I do think that was a matter of circumstance. Like, when they drafted Jair Alexander in the first round, I don't think they thought Josh Jackson would be available.
I get that.
Round.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I give them actually credit for not passing on Jackson because they had already drafted a corner. You take the best player available, and I thought that guy was a top 10 pick.
Right. You know, so, again, I'm exaggerating with the 1,000 defensive backs. But
not really, though.
They've taken
like 999.
Yeah. No, but seriously, they've taken a lot. Look it up. Go to Pro Football Reference. They've taken a lot of defensive backs in the first or in the early rounds of the past several years.
All right. Well, that was a riveting rookie minicamp episode of Hogan Johns, I'd say. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching the Cutler series.
No.
No.
Oh, what else do you have to watch in July? It does come out at a perfect time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of July.
Kristen Cavallari knows very well what she's doing.
She's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. We should get out of here. OTA episode?
Yeah. Next week?
Soon.
A couple weeks.
We'll have, yeah, it's this week, right?
Yeah, Wednesday. A couple Wednesdays at work at House Hall.
Yeah. I'll be out there next week. No day game next week.
Who they got?
There's a lot of Wednesday day games, the White Sox. It's like every week. Pirates this week, Orioles next week.
Ah.
The Orioles are the only other team
that... Well, the Northsiders are a Manny Machado watch, so there's something.
What if the White Sox are too?
Ooh, reload, reload. Need a big piece.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, Joe Romano's at Joey Joe Rowe. Read us, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the pod, Hoge and Johns, on Apple, Google, TuneIn, wherever. We're there. We will be back probably next week. OTAs. Get you through these next few weeks. There's going to be Bear stuff for the next month, and then they break after mini camp, which is the first week in June. That's the dead period then after that. We'll keep it rolling.
Vacation.
Talk to you soon.
Hey, what we call Mitch? Pretty boy what?
Pretty boy Mitch.
Pretty boy assassin. That's his new nickname. That's what we call him, you know.